morning, Power Hour Nation. This is Frank Davis. I'm the guest host today. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to share some thoughts with you today. A little bit about myself. I am the founder, CEO of a company called OptiVita Health. I'm very passionate about health and nutrition, which you'll probably pick up today. But I'm very passionate about life in general and living life to the fullest. So I'm going to take liberty before we start into the subject that we're going to talk about today and our invited guest to just share a thought with you, a thought for the day that hopefully will be meaningful to you. I'm going to start off by telling you a little story. Two old friends met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. "Wow, that's a lot of money. "But you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear." The friend said, "Man, that sounds to me like you've been very blessed." "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away. I inherited almost $250,000 from her." Now his friend was really confused. He said, "Then why do you look so glum?" "This week, nothing." So the point I want to get across on this is being grateful in every circumstance. We all have challenges in life. We all have things that rend our heartstrings, etc. But when we are grateful to God in our circumstances, we can experience gentle peace in the midst of tribulation. One of a quote by a religious leader that I love says this: "The joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. As the psalmist declared, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all of them." I just want to end by telling you a modern-day Job experience that I had with somebody that really, because of her focus, not her circumstances, continues to experience joy and expresses gratitude. I served for 2 years volunteer work in a assisted living. And I was assigned to one particular lady that I don't think I've ever met anybody that has less, it seemed like, to be grateful for. Every part of her body being cut up. She had had an appendectomy, hysterectomy, quadruple bypass, heart surgery, heart valve replacement, kidney transplant. Was currently dealing with diabetes, neuropathy, arthritis in the back due to undiagnosed back fracture. She couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. She was blind. On top of that, she had never had the opportunity to be married, did not have any children of her own to experience what it's like to be a family. Yet, every time I ever visited her, she was either reading the scriptures, audio tape, listening to something on TV. Her whole focus was on something, and she was always expressing gratitude for what she had. It was one of the most incredible lessons I had. Just a thought for the day to be grateful in all our circumstances. We live in challenging times right now. Evil abounds. It's really a little challenge in our life today, but seek out to be gratitude and it will bring peace in your life. I'm excited today to bring a guest on. We're kind of entering round two, it seems like, in the challenge of what we're dealing with this pandemic. Now we're starting to mask up for social distancing, pushing hard to get everybody vaccinated, all this stuff, and it truly impacting our lives. And, you know, obviously, being focused on health and nutrition and being focused on keeping my body and hopefully those I love and care about where they have the best chance to avoid some of the health challenges that are abundant right now. I wanted to begin this hour talking about masks. You know, there's a little bit of controversy about it, et cetera, but I became introduced to the guest that we're going to bring on right now a couple of years ago, and I am convinced that he's probably one of the foremost experts in the country, if not the world, in masks and their effectiveness and what kind of mask and what they do and how they do it and why you should wear it and what for. His name is Bruce LaRange, and I'll give you a little background on him. Bruce is the founder and CEO of O2 Today, which is a venture capital-backed company that believes everyone has the right to breathe clean and healthy air. And for over 6 years, he's been traveling across 4 continents, and his mission has been to raise the awareness to the public about health impacts of air pollution and the pathogens, and working on his team of environmental science, health, design, and manufacturing experts to innovate and create the best possible products for when mass usage are necessary. He has a fairly extensive business background. I know he's lived in Japan for years. He's been on radio, TV, very knowledgeable and experienced and bright individual. I want to bring Bruce on the show, and let's talk about masks and their effectiveness, their importance, especially today as we're dealing with more than just air pollution. So, Bruce, are you there?
I am. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, so I want to start off by, you know, maybe you can add a little bit about your background and experience in the mask and your journey with O2 Today and how you got in the mask space, how long ago, and what qualifies you to talk about masks?
Sure. Well, first of all, Frank, thanks for having me on the show, and I hope that my experience will be useful to listeners. As you mentioned, we know right now there's a bit of mask exhaustion, and it's a topic that people have differing opinions on. But I was hoping to shed some light on the purpose of masks and how they can be used as part of a healthy lifestyle, and to share a bit about my journey that I think qualifies me to share some thoughts on products and hopefully demystify some things about masks and mask usage. And to start with, you know, why I formed O2 Today and got involved in this space, and this was about 6 years ago that I founded my company, long before mask usage and sort of the things that are happening related to the pandemic and awareness around masks was as escalated as it is now. As you mentioned, Frank, I lived in Japan for over a decade and spent a lot of time traveling within Asia. And I was quite familiar with wearing masks for different reasons, whether it be pollution when in China or Korea, or for pollen in Japan, and even something that's a practice widely used in Japan, which is something called a courtesy mask, just when you're sick, so that you can reduce the exposure to others when you're breathing, sneezing, talking. It's something I was familiar with, and it wasn't a strange practice to me because of my time in Asia. But I started looking at the different things happening in the world, the fact that air pollution is increasingly evident as our population grows and wildfires people are becoming more aware of the health impacts of smoke from that. And it wasn't just that in Asia, mask usage was something we should be considering. And that's what got me thinking about the space and really studying it. Long story short, for me, you know, what I think is very important and why I'm passionate about this space and sharing my knowledge with people is if you think about an expert like yourself, Frank, in nutrition, we spend so much time as a society being careful about the food that we put in our bodies and, you know, reading labels, making sure that we're getting good nutrition in for our health. And likewise with water. We're very focused on drinking water that's clean and filtered, and rightly so. We want to be putting good fuel into our body. But, you know, while it's a bit extreme, the human body can actually go for 3 weeks without food and survive, and 3 days without water, but it can't go for 3 minutes without breathing and breathing clean air. And I just find it very interesting that very few people are thinking about the air they breathe. It's something we do 22,000 times a day, is taking a breath. And so as I got more focused on the air that we're breathing and the potential health threats to breathing on safe air, that's what drove my passion to form the company and to get into this space.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, what is quite timely and interesting is in the western United States, where I live, the wildfires have been unbelievable this season and created air pollution that in Salt Lake City for 2 days, it was the worst air quality in the world. And then, ironically enough, I subscribe to a number of health and nutrition-related journals and periodicals, etc. I got one literally last week, and it was entitled "New Evidence Shows Link Between Air Pollution and Alzheimer's." And it was a very well-documented, well-researched showing the fact of Alzheimer's and dementia, how they're impacted by the air pollution and how that obviously exacerbates those diseases. Could you elaborate a little bit about, you know, when we're talking about, you know, air pollution versus pandemic at this point and the importance of, you know, filtration, if that's the case, or breathing clean air?
Sure, and I think that's important that you brought this up, Frank, because there's so much focus, rightly so, right now on the pandemic and its impact on our lives. And but air pollution is a leading environmental health threat. The World Health Organization has called it the leading environmental health threat and claims that it has been responsible for over 7 million deaths a year. I think arguably that number is much higher. And the reason is, before I get into wildfires and, you know, ways that you can assess when the air is, you know, safe versus not safe and things you can do to reduce your exposure to harmful smoke and haze, I think it's important to understand how breathing in poor air or harmful air quality can be an issue for your overall health. I've spoken over the years with many people who just assume that your lungs are the only thing that's going to get damaged, if you breathe poor air quality. But the reality is, if you are breathing in very fine particles, probably many listeners have heard the term PM2.5. Which means particulate matter, and the 2.5 is actually the size of the little particle, the little fine particle that you can breathe in, which, to give an indication about how small this is, PM2.5 particles is about 1/30th of a human hair in size. And these fine particles you breathe into your lungs are so small that they can actually go into your bloodstream via your lungs and cause inflammation as it circulates through your body. And this is known. And so this is why you can have a number of ailments that air pollution or breathing in unsafe air can contribute to as you get inflammation in different parts of your body. There's a lot of research out there that people can avail themselves to, and connections to studies, everything from heart attack, stroke, of course, forms of cancer, to, as you mentioned, Alzheimer's, dementia, and lesser known issues like infertility. And so there's a lot of studies that are underway, and there's already a large body of evidence that that fine particles that you breathe in, including smoke, can be very, very hazardous to your health long term. Having said that, I think what's, you know, important is, how do you know if the air that you're breathing is safe or not? As you mentioned, Frank, and I'm based in Salt Lake City, and have been actually in the horrific air that we've had, largely from the smoke just drifting from the California fires. But, you know, there are some days where when you check the air quality, and I'll also share for the sake of listeners some suggestions on how they can also be informed on what the air quality and air quality safety is every day, just like checking a weather report. There are days where it's been in, you know, extreme levels where everyone outside, outdoors, without any protection can be harmed just from being outdoors. And this isn't something that's only happening in Salt Lake City in the U.S., but Denver, I just read this morning that the Tahoe area is experiencing extreme worst levels of air pollution in the world right now. So this is a very real thing in America right now, largely because of wildfires. But pollution overall is something that we haven't thought of very much, I think, as a society in the U.S., because it's not something that we focused on. We're more focused on things like food and water and not the air that we breathe. But there's enough growing evidence of significant health concerns and potential risk that this is something that we should all expect to be learning more about as we move forward. And there are ways you could protect yourself or at least reduce your exposure. But I'll stop there and just give you a chance, Frank, to see if you had any qualifying questions before I suggest some ways you can reduce exposure to smoke.
Well, I think it, the point you're making is very well taken, that we live in an environment where, you know, we don't have clean air by and large. Sometimes of the year, whether I know in some areas you have inversion in the winter where the air quality is extremely bad. Obviously, the fire right now in the entire western United States is impacting the air quality. And, you know, just what you're saying is in terms of the danger. And I mean, that was a real eye-opener to me when I got this article saying the link between air quality pollution and Alzheimer and dementia. I'm sure that if it affects Alzheimer and dementia, it definitely affects other things and lung disease, et cetera. I guess the real question is, now that we are kind of back into the mask mandate and everything, you see people wandering around with everything from bandanas over their face, plastic shields over their face. You know, the question is, really, are they doing any good? Are they achieving what they think they are doing, or is it just window dressing to do it? In that light, what was interesting just last week in our local paper on an editorial written by John Stossel, he talks about the fact that Senator Rand Paul was censored on YouTube on an interview where he basically made the statement, most of the masks you get over the counter don't work. Virus particles are too small and go right through. And then Stossel goes on to say Paul didn't make that up. He said there are two peer-reviewed studies suggested that simple masks do not work, might not work at all. And so anyway, I think for the viewing audience, what would be interesting, since we've talked about the dangers of pollution and the pathogens that we're dealing with, what is an effective and proven way to filter those out? And, you know, that's your expertise, so take it away.
Well, sure. And this is a topic, of course, that is causing a lot of confusion with the public, especially since masks for public usage and not occupational or medical usage is something relatively new to the U.S. population in large. And, you know, frankly, there's been a lot of information, misinformation, kind of messy landscape of what people should do, can do, how masks work. But I think I would start by saying you have to really step back and take a look at what is a mask. You know, I think the first thing that would help people to decouple what works, what doesn't in this conversation is to say that, you know, I view masks as something similar to footwear. You know, the word mask is being used for anything you can put over your face to protect yourself from the air that you breathe or to protect others from the air that you're breathing out. But there are so many different types of masks designed for different purposes that it's really something like footwear. You know, you certainly wouldn't want to run a marathon with a pair of flip-flops or wear your snowshoes to the beach. And likewise, there are different masks designed for different uses. So I think what's helpful is to just look at the different types of masks, and then we can discuss, you know, effectiveness, which, of course, there's a lot of studies out there, you know, for a significant body of evidence, and there's official testing against devices for specific types of masks that can reinforce claims that manufacturers are making. But I would start by saying, well, the most common type of mask, quote unquote, that you're seeing, and probably what was referenced in the article you read, Frank, is are masks made of cloth or fabric without a nonwoven filter element, just cotton or whatever form of fabric the item's made from. Those, you know, in my and many others' opinions, are not really masks, but they're face coverings, and that's because that's exactly what they do, is they cover the user and they supply some material barrier, which for the purpose of wearing now, in, given the current need and the fact that the CDC has promoted cloth masks during the pandemic to help reduce the amount of basically airborne respiratory droplets, or, you know, you're talking, your respiratory droplets that come when you cough or sneeze. There's some effectiveness, of course, because it's going to be better than not having something over your face. But the reality is that fabrics were never designed for filtering. And so you're going to get limited effectiveness there. And it runs the gamut depending on what type of material, how many layers you have. But really, what's important is face coverings have gained popularity, but the question is why. And it really goes back to, at the beginning of the pandemic, the fact that effective masks, which are made from materials that are designed to filter and to protect, were in short supply because supply chains were disrupted. And as we all know, medical officials needed to have access to the most premium types of masks. And so there was a great effort to be able to supply the public and for the public to be able to supply themselves with some form of protection to slow the spread. And that was the thinking.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll be back shortly after this break.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil, available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Well, we're back with you and with Bruce Lorenz as we were talking about masks, their importance, etc. Before we get back with Bruce, I just wanted to remind listeners, if you do have any questions or comments, you can call 844-769-2944. We're happy to entertain or respond to any questions or comments. Also, I want to remind all Power Hour Nation listeners that the Power Mall is what supports this, really, this show, this ministry, and would encourage you to go visit the Power Mall, and it's at www.thepowermall.com. You can go there 24/7, or you can call 877-817-9829 between Monday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time. Phenomenal products. We have some on there now that we are offering at a discount, so I'd encourage you to go there, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. Let's go back to Bruce. We were talking about masks and what kind of masks you should wear, et cetera. So I'll let you continue on, Bruce. We were discussing the fact that, you know, everybody has to wear something. Sometimes it's mandated, whether you're going to a restaurant, obviously on an airplane, whatever. And not all masks are created equal. And so I'll let you continue on telling us what we should be looking for, what works, and why.
Hey, thank you, Frank. So to circle back to what we were talking about before the break and close out on fabric face coverings, it's really the sort of limited item that someone should wear if they don't have access to a more effective type of mask. And there have been tests to show that there is, of course, some improvement versus not wearing a mask. But again, not what I or many others would recommend, since there are products that are actually designed specifically for one or two-way protection. The next type of mask, which most people are common with, especially since as children we've been going to the dentist or the doctors, is a surgical style mask, or sometimes called a three-ply mask, or a there are a number of ways that these masks are called, but it's a pleated non-woven mask that quite It's quite standard in medical environments. And these are largely available to the public. I would say as you kind of go out and see those who are wearing masks in public, there's sort of a split between fabric face coverings and this style of mask. Now, these have been shown to be better than a fabric face covering at reducing others to your respiratory droplets, and that's why they're used as procedure masks in dental offices and such. There is a wide variety and variance of these types of masks and different standards that they're tested to. But largely, they are made to be breathable, pleated, so that you're not getting a lot of humidity, and their intent is not to protect the user as much as to protect others from the wearer. And that's why in the current climate, if everyone wears a mask, the idea is that there'll be less respiratory droplets, less spreading of respiratory droplets, and it reduces the odds of viral transmission. Now, these are made from what's called non-woven material, which is a sort of tightly bound but breathable material in a couple layers, and usually the outside of this mask is fluid resistant, so it does provide some protection from spittles, or if someone is talking without a mask, it will provide some protection. But the edges around the side of the mask are loose, and so you can still breathe in particles and aerosols. So it's not intended to be to offer two-way protection. And then the third type of mask, which is promoted in the medical community, and many people have probably become familiar with the term N95, is a N95 respirator. And this style of mask has been used in occupational environments to protect people from breathing in harmful particles in factories and jobs where there's a chance you could be breathing in some harmful particulates. And also in medical environments, there's surgical N95 mask, which has also been tested and is FDA approved to be used in those environments. So to backtrack to where we're at now, early in the pandemic, there was such a limited supply of both surgical style masks and N95 respirator type masks that people were doing their civic duty and using fabric face coverings or other types of masks so that it didn't eat into the limited quantity for the medical community. I would say now, based on what we're seeing with availability of products and a lot of supply chains have gotten back on track, there's actually a significant amount of products available that are not fabric face coverings, which would certainly be recommended and are largely recommended by experts in space and in the medical community. And lastly, I would say that there's sort of a hybrid, which is if you do have a fabric face covering that you really like, you can get filter inserts. And the filter inserts should be made from a similar layered material as the surgical masks or the N95 respirator type masks I mentioned. And one last point, Frank, before moving on to the next topic is there's also masks that are used for industrial purposes, and often they have valves. You'll see sort of a plastic or some sort of kind of chunky aperture on the mask. That's so that because the purpose of those masks is to protect the wearer, those valves are to exhale your air so you don't get a buildup of humidity. But of course, for the purpose of wearing them as what's called source control, not spreading your respiratory droplets, that's quite useless because, of course, you're breathing in through a filter and you're breathing out your own air. And so those are not advisable or allowed in public settings right now. And that's sort of the landscape of masks and sort of how to decide what type of mask and level of mask is better than others.
Okay, well, that's very informative. I do have a question. Obviously, I'm aware of the N95 mask, and I know there are a couple of big companies in the U.S. that produce them, like 3M and Honeywell. But it seems like the majority of masks that are available in the U.S. come from China. Obviously, I'm assuming they have some type of regulatory stuff. that dictate that, but, you know, I've always been a little suspect of things coming from there, especially in the nutritional space. But as a company, you know, you have opted to focus on USA material, USA made filter, etc. So, you know, one of the things that I think not myself, but a lot of people, and I think even more so women, when you talk about a certified, you know, FDA N95, they have the straps go all the way around the head. Is that necessary? I mean, it's really inconvenient. And can we get the same protection without necessarily having it certified by the N95, by a government agency? They all go through, can you get certain laboratory tests that validate its filtration, its breathability, and know that you're getting the protection without, you know, even paying the price and or having to deal with straps all the way around the head?
Yeah, that's a great question, Frank, and a little bit complex. So let me break it into a few parts that I think will be helpful. You know, first is, in the United States, the governing body for N95 respirators is called NIOSH. If you have an official NIOSH regulated and approved or certified mask, it will be listed with the CDC. And so that's an important thing to note. In other countries, there are similar certification levels, and the testing is very, very similar. There's some minor differences. So in China, for example, which at least prior to the pandemic was making over 50% of all of the you know, respirator and nonwoven masks in the world, I'm sure that it's much, much higher since. There is a compatible certification called KN95. And really what the 95 refers to is that based on the way that the tests are worked against a certain size small particle, it blocks at least 95% of those coming through the mask. So the major difference between an N95 mask that is certified for use in the United States and a KN95 mask, which is certified for use in China, is really very minute on the testing, but there is a noticeable difference, which is a KN95 mask has ear loops, which go around your ears, whereas an N95 certified NIOSH mask in the U.S. has behind the head straps, which have to go completely behind the head to give you a height fit to your face. Again, there's variances. There's other countries like Korea has a KF94 mask, and in Europe there's a number of compatible types of masks. But for the purpose of talking about the head straps, right? There's certification and there's also preference. We've heard from a comfort level as long as you're getting a tight seal to the face, and that's the key. Now, these governing bodies like a NIOSH, they enforce fit tests to make sure that the mask is going to fit closely and seal to your face, which is so important that you're not breathing around the mask, but you're breathing through it. And that's the idea of the behind-the-head straps. But there are different apertures and ways, you know, things you can do with the ear loops to get a really, really good fit without having to, you know, have a mask that wraps all the way around the back of your head. But the reality is that if you do have a NIOSH mask, that's how you'll be able to tell the difference, as well as it will be noted on the mask. It will say NIOSH N95. It will have a specific number, and you'll be able to track that to the CDC website. Now, to speak to your point on testing, there are one of the reasons that I'm based in Salt Lake City is about 3 years ago, a little more than 3 years ago, I moved our company here because it's a little known fact outside of those in the industry that one of the most premier testing facilities for medical devices and especially for protective masks is based in Salt Lake City. It's called Nelson Laboratory. And they do a series of tests that are pre-testing qualifications before you apply to NIOSH to make sure that your product is meeting the standards of the N95 protocol, if you will. And that's something we've done with our products. We're still in the process of moving into a NIOSH certification, but we've actually tested our masks through this third-party testing facility to the N95 standard to pass those qualifications. A thing that I think is important for people to consider when selecting a mask is NIOSH-approved masks are still arguably in short supply for the need, since it's a disposable mask, for the medical and occupational community. And so we have seen a lot of KN95 masks with the air loops, which are in use. And, the status is, it's quite fluid. So, we'd have to look and see what the latest is. But for a period of time, because it was so challenging to get an N95 mask in the U.S., KN95 masks, which were certified and approved, there's a list of approved factories in China, those were acceptable as surrogate masks for N95 masks. And so there's really a small difference in performance as long as they are certified to the standard that they're supposed to be tested against.
So one of the things that at least I struggle with when I wear a mask like that is just the breathability. Can you address that in terms of, obviously that maybe that's why people like a cloth mask or a bandana where it's wide open, or a plastic right. shield where there's nothing around there, is just thinking they have some protection, but, free breathing. So what kind of test do they have on that? And how does your mask that would be has been tested, how does that compare to, let's say, a 3M mask that would be considered a premium mask here in the United States?
Yeah, again, great question. And I think this, what's important here is, let's all be honest with ourselves. Wearing a mask is never going to be an enjoyable thing that people would choose to do if they didn't have to wear a mask. It's something that is made for a purpose to protect the wearer or to protect others from the wearer's respiratory droplets. So I think the most important thing is, a mask has to be comfortable for someone to want to be compliant and wear the mask. And a lot of masks do not think about breathability very seriously. We've seen some things that make me shake my head over the last year, including masks made of denim, which is basically like putting a pair of jeans over your mouth. I wouldn't recommend that. A lot of manufacturers have not put a lot of thought into the breathability aspect of the mask. So there's really two things you need to think. Like a stereo, you have bass and treble, and balance is important. Filtration and breathability are the two things that really make for an effective mask. And then, of course, you have other things like the fit and the seal, which we can speak about. But as far as breathability, and to answer your question, Frank, there are tests that are conducted largely non-woven masks. There are some new standards since the pandemic for fabric masks. They're what's called an ASTM standard, and they do test the filtration ability and breathability of fabric masks. But as I mentioned previously, we don't look at fabric face coverings as masks in the same way that we look at the type of products which use these non-woven materials. There's a varying level of how breathable a mask is, and you can really tell the difference when you compare two different masks. So in our case, what we've done, and again, another reason we've stayed based in the U.S. and we use a U.S. supply chain, is we actually work with a manufacturer out of Massachusetts, which is known for some of the best filter material in the world. They supply a few multinationals I can't mention on air, but the most premium filtration material that you can buy in the United States. And one of the things that makes that material special is how breathable it is. And there's a lot of technical details which, I don't want to put our listeners to sleep about, but I think the shortest answer about why there's different breathability is there are either layers, and a lot of manufacturers use multiple layers to get great filtration, And there's different thicknesses of material. There's a lot of different things that go into making a filtering mask. For us, what's been important was to have the most breathable product we could design. And so we've selected the most breathable filter material that we could find. And we've tested to that effect and have a very low breathability, if you will, versus other masks that we've seen public information about. But I think what's important is that the user feels it's comfortable. You know, you can have a mesh mask with nothing but mesh and feel like you're wearing something, but of course you're breathing everything through that and it's useless. Or you can have a mask made of concrete and it's going to stop everything, but you can't breathe through it. So finding that right balance is really crucial, and that's something that certainly with our team of material scientists, we focused on. But I think as people get more familiar with wearing masks, they're looking for more information about breathability. And we're going to see more than just the N95 and the filtering number being talked about. I think we're moving towards, rightfully so, as people get more educated, well, what's the breathability of my mask? How much more breathable is this mask versus another? Because that's going to be important for someone that's wearing a product that, you know, they're going to be wearing outdoors, they're going to be moving around, and so breathability is a critical part of people wanting to wear a mask.
That's great information. So bottom line, we're going to talk a little bit about your mask, the O2 today. So you have a premium USA-made filter. You have submitted it to testing to Nelson Laboratories, which is the premier testing facility that basically anybody goes through in essence before it becomes certified NIOSH or whatever. They test it for filtration and for breathability. I don't know if you actually elaborated on that, but as I turn this over to you, I would like you to say, what were the test results of your mask in terms of the filtration and the breathability? I know N95 refers to the fact that 95% of the particulate. So I want to know or have you address, if we're looking at this for ultimate protection, whether it is filtering out whatever particulates, what does this filter? If we're wearing these masks to hopefully prevent us from being exposed to and breathing in a SARS virus, does it filter that? I don't know what the size of the virus is, and is that really effective in doing it? And then, lastly, is what would then be the advantage of your product over others? And because I want to do that as we end up, because we have got the O2 mask on the Power Mall at a significant discount for the people, and I want them to know why this is something that would be extremely beneficial for them, given that we are now asked to mask up again.
Yes, and I just want to be cautious for the sake of the listeners that, you know, the product we have, as mentioned, we are moving through the NIOSH pre-submission process, but we've taken steps and right now have a mask which is, you know, non-medical, non-NIOSH approved, but tested to the standards of NIOSH. And we use premium U.S. material, as mentioned. And it's been very important for us to try to get the most premium material, because a lot of masks, before I touch on the test results and, you know, why that's important, you just don't know what's in them. And so, again, there's, you know, I think that quite often China as a manufacturing hub and a leading manufacturing destination globally that supplies a lot of the world's products, you get a very big gamut of the quality that comes from China. There are exceptionally high-quality world-class manufacturing facilities, but there are, of course, those which are less so. And so it's very difficult to know what your supply chain is. Where's your material coming from? What's it made of? So one of the advantages and why we've been focused during the pandemic on building a U.S. supply chain is we want to know A to Z, where did our material come from? Is it the best stuff you can get? And that's what we have a lot of confidence in, starting with the filter itself. But the testing, to answer that question, the testing for for this sort of mask is they test a certain amount of breathing. To get technical, it's 85 liters per minute of air, and it tests down to a certain particle size to see how much of those particles are being blocked from being breathed into the mask. The size of the particle, if for the N95 testing, actually tests down to 0.3 microns or micrometers, and that's very, very small. As I mentioned earlier in the show, PM2.5, which is the number that we hear about as, you know, the harmful size of particle that we can breathe in, that's 2.5 micrometers. So this is, it tests to a much smaller, much more fine particle size than most things you would be breathing in. Now, a respiratory droplet, and I also want to be cautious, this mask, because it's non-medical, the intention is not to stop breathing in the virus per se. It's about blocking particles, but the virus will travel on a respiratory droplet that is usually between 5 to 10 micrometers. So, point being that from a size scale, you know that this mask is tested to block particles down to that size, a 0.3. And really, what the test is for is, you know, this mask and the mask that we are offering has been designed for haze and, you know, anti-pollution. You know, we have our filtering and breathability test listed on our website, so you can see that. And it really is trying to get the best U.S. materials possible, the most breathable solution possible, and as we work towards further certifications, to have something that will help people. And, you know, again, we talk about the pandemic, but the reality is that air pollution and wildfires are a concern, so we want to make sure people have protection to reduce exposure to those things.
All right, well, thank you, Bruce. That's very informative. Again, we encourage people to go to the powermall.com. The masks are available there at a significant discount, and we appreciate your insight and information. Thank you again, Bruce.
Antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces a healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.